Okay. So, the topic of this year, or the discussion of this year, is going to be, firstly, I guess, about the overall importance of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of learning Torah, and more specifically about the, I guess you could say, the balance between learning Torah on the one hand and Malacha, Parnasa, other things on the other hand. And that's both from a theoretical level, like what's the concept about, what does the Torah hold, how one should balance these things, and on a practical level, how we should go about doing that.
Okay.
So, I want to start with, and by the way, feel free to make it interactive, whatever. We could finish tonight, we could finish a different time, so whatever. Okay, we don't, there's no real, whatever happens, happens. We'll see how it goes. Okay, so I want to start with something which perhaps you're familiar with. And it's in the Perek Gimel. Basically, essentially what I'm going to be doing is different Rambams in Perek Gimel. Okay, different Rambams in Perek Gimel. And I'm going to specifically cover a contradiction. Okay, there's an apparent contradiction in the Rambam. And in passing, hopefully we'll deal with that. And in passing, we'll do some other relevant Rambams. So I'm going to start towards the end of the Perek. It's in Perek Gimel Achayad. Okay, it says, probably most people in Yeshiva are probably familiar with this. Okay, at least we used to be. I'm not sure of that. So it says, Kol Meisim Alibo Shiasu B'Torah. If a person puts it on his, makes up his mind to be involved in Torah, V'lo Yase Malacha, he's not going to do any Malacha, he's Parnas Min Atztaka, and he'll be supported by Atztaka. Hari Zechilu Es Hashem. Zechilu Hashem. U'baza Es HaTorah. And he is Mevaza, embarrasses the Torah. Keeps going. The Kava Maor Hadas, and he extinguishes the light of the religion, of the Torah. The Garam Ra La'atzmo, and also he causes evil to himself. The Notal Chai Ben Olam Haba, and he removes his life from Olam Haba. Okay, this is a person who decides to just be involved in Torah and not to get a job, and just will be supported by whatever the tzibur will take care of. The Fi She'asher Lehenos Ben Bedivrei Torah Be'olam Hazeh. Because it's also to get hana'ah from the Divrei Torah in this world. Okay, not allowed to do that. Okay, not allowed to use them to get money. PSA to people, give me money. Why don't you get a job? Oh, I'm learning. So you're using the learning as a way to get hana'ah, as a way to get money. Amru Chachamim, the Chazal said, Kol nana mi Divrei Torah until chayav min olam. A person is nana from the Divrei Torah, he takes his life away from the world. Ve'od tzivu v'amru, and they also commanded and said, Lo sasem ha-Torah l'hiskadel b'am. You shouldn't make the words of the Torah a crown to make yourself great. Ve'lo kardam lachbar b'am. Nor, like a shovel or whatever, some sort of digging tool to dig with. Okay? You shouldn't make the words of the Torah like a tool which you dig with. Ve'od tzivu v'amru, and they also commanded, Ahov esam alacha. You should love Malacha, the Sineas Rabbanas, and you should hate being like Rabbanas, being a Rav. Okay? The Chol Torah She'eni Ima Malacha, and any Torah which does not have with it Malacha, Sofa B'Tela, it will end up leading to being nullified. V'Sov Adam Zeshi Malasim Esabrios, and this person will end up stealing. Okay, being a thief, stealing from people. Okay, which you see how happens nowadays. There are people who are involved in these learning programs or whatever, and end up there's all kinds of fraud scandals and all kinds of monetary thievery going on. Okay, so what's the deal? I mean, it sounds pretty harsh, right? I don't know really. I can't call to mind any place where the Rambam talks so harshly against somebody. Right? I mean, he says a person who decides to learn and be supported by tzedakah, he's a lot of bad things. The Chil Hashem, he's mivaz of the Torah, he extinguishes the light of the das. The religion, he causes evil to himself, loses the Olam Haba, right? Pretty bad stuff. So what's the big deal? I mean, what's wrong with it? Right? Why is this such a bad thing? Here's where you guys come in. Have you heard this before or not? Everybody in Yeshiva knows this, no? This is Yeshiva. Now you don't know.
Okay. Maybe in terms of just the very end, like, of that, if you use it as a tool for other things, like, you'll come to steal, like, Maybe for that you could.
Okay.
Maybe you could say the guy is simply, he's just never learning. If you're using it as a tool, I mean, the guy is constantly self-interested. I mean, he's not learning to, you know, follow some value just for itself. So,
right. Like,
any endeavor he's going to be in, he's, you know, maybe he'll, you know, if he hasn't learned to value something for its own right. He's going to use it to and distort it to benefit in some way. So,
right. You
know, he's always looking out for himself in business also. You know.
Right. I hear you. Okay, good.
I think there's going to be, I mean, two frameworks in which this is going to cause harm. Like, one of them is going to be in terms of his relationship to Torah. The other one's going to be the way that people in the nation do Torah. Yeah.
Right, it's true. I mean, it seems like they could be broken up into those
right. Two
different...
Yeah, it's hard to tell when, you know, some of the statements he's making, some of them fall clearly into one category and others don't.
Right, okay, good. So which one should we try to understand first? He starts with, which one does he start with?
Feel less ashamed, that's for the system it seems.
Right, I mean, seems like the first few are system ones, right? Feel less ashamed and...
Well, there's a Torah also. I mean, Bizui is like a degradation, right?
Right. Right. Well, the Torah distinguishes the light of the Das.
Right, that's...
Those all sound pretty objective. And then, Garam Ra'al Atzma of Natachayim and Alba sound like it's also bad for himself.
Yeah.
Okay, Yerachayim?
Do any of them overlap? Like, do any of them, it's both?
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps. Could be. I mean, yeah, it would seem so. I mean, that's what it said. It could be Bazas Torah is bad for you and it's bad for... But it seems to be it's talking more in, like, systematically. But what's wrong? Let's talk about it. So what's wrong with it in terms of objectively? Chilas Hashem, why is it all these things? Distinguishes the light of the Tas, the religion. What's the deal? What's the big deal? Why is it so bad? Yeah.
Kind of sounds like you're like hiding behind it in a way.
Hiding behind it.
Yeah, like using it for like this great thing, and you're belittling it by using it for something.
Right. Okay.
Like
okay. Belittling the Torah. You mean you're using it as like a tool for make a living?
Right.
It's not what it is, really. Right. Right, I hear that. Yeah.
I would say you're changing its form. The Torah is supposed to be ideas. It's supposed to show you how to live your life and
right. It's
supposed to be a guide. And you're changing it from ideas into an object.
Right. Right. Right, an object to make a living. Right. It'd be like if a guy tried to make a business on Holocaust memorialization or something, right? He's like, whatever, some sort of thing like that. It'd be like, it cheapens the thing, right? Someone in Holocaust business wouldn't be like commercializing the Holocaust or something. Right, that would be like, certain things you don't just do that, it cheapens it. You okay, Chaim?
Question.
Yeah.
There need to be some people that are just involved in Torah.
Mm.
And those people are going to be supported by the Kahal, let's say, because it's recognized that you need those types of people. So is this talking about everyone who does that, or is
well,
it...
Well, why does he need those? Because why do you need people like that? Who said, like, where did that come from?
Well, you need someone... You need people who are always going to be involved in Torah and Halacha to know... If everyone's just involved in Melacha, then there's going to be no Chachamim.
Mm-hmm. What's the other Kohanim, first of all?
Levim, yeah.
But one second, the Kohanim, but then there's another thing. Give me a second. There's a Rambam. There's an important Rambam about that. Kedolei Chacham, this is Aleph Tes. Kedolei Chacham Yisrael, Hayu Mehem Chut Ve'etzim, some of them chopped wood, Mehem Asher Le'mayim, Mehem Sumim, Alf Pekin Hayu Oskim Yom V'Layla. Vehem Bechal Matik Yeshem Yishmi Piyash. I mean, he basically elaborates on this more in the Pirush Mishnayos, and I think it's in Perek Dalet Hay in Avos. What he basically shows is that there's many poor, very, very, very poor, Balei Mesorah, like Hillel, or, you know, tons of guys. And he says, from Shore, he says, Ram says, that if they would have asked people to support them, they would have. People would knock down the doors. They wouldn't pay give Hillel money. He says, but they didn't. They worked. They made, they lived in poverty. Certain ones, you know, and they just they learned a lot of time, but they managed to pull things together. They did a little work, and you know, they pulled things together. I don't
it's
know if
possible,
they,
but what's the problem with saying that I'm going to live comfortably? I mean, the klal needs people that are going to be involved in Torah. These chachamim It's not like they were working a long time. They were just enough to just survive.
Right.
So let's say there would have been people who would have recognized that you need chacham like this, and they would have supported them, and they could have lived comfortably.
Okay.
So why is that?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fine.
And you do have in the end of is it Shmita and Yovel when you talk about like the Levim, and then anyone who wants to totally devote himself to Torah, somehow get taken care of.
God
will
take
care of.
That
is a category of like a person who's totally devoted to Talmud Torah,
right,
and not involved in work.
Right. It's true. But I don't know if he says the guy throws himself on the tzibur.
No.
Stuck. It seems like he just has a bitachon masha and that somehow things will work out.
Right. Which,
it's a good question. It's a difficult problem in its own right.
Right.
But here he's talking about a particular thing. There's a guy throwing himself on the tzibur, on the tzedakah. So what's the problem? So Chaim, you're saying what's the big deal? Right? What's the big deal?
I would say that this is what you call kolo nowadays.
Right. Arguably. Right.
Although it's funny because you see that people do, let's say like someone is donating tons of money to an educational institution that raises the esteem of, or the value of education in people's eyes. It's interesting why that doesn't automatically happen, like if you have a guy learning and his, and he himself is being supported.
Right.
In other words, if people are giving money for a certain cause, then that usually raises the
That's
the value
true.
Of that in people's minds.
It's true. But I think it does cheapen the guys who are doing it. I think. It's like, Jonah?
It sounds like kind of like an artificial type of like relationship. Like they're supposed to value a person living with like real, in like a real type of sense. And this is saying like, oh, we'll take care of this stuff and you just do this part for a second.
Right.
It's kind of real type of life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What's natural chayv and ulam haba? Because maybe let's say it's an imperfection that a guy thinks that the tibur should have to take care of me because I'm taking care of an important thing. It's like a misestimation of his self worth.
Right.
Fine, so that's a personal imperfection. But like natural chayv and ulam haba, isn't he getting the benefits of learning Torah anyways? Like this is one thing that he is making a mistake on, but he's still involved in Torah all the time.
Right.
Why is it different than any other
abode? Right. Sure.
There are ways to learn Torah, though, that are not proper. Like, if you learn Torah, Amanas the Kanto, you can do the same thing.
Right.
He's learning Torah, though, at the same time. He's not learning it properly.
Right, to make people down.
I remember there was, there was a time when there was a Mishnah, and it quoted, it quoted someone in the Mishnah. And then afterwards, the Gemara said that anyone who, that this opinion was not even Zocha to be Yotzei is considered learning Torah. Because it's just so foolish.
Right, okay. So what does that do to us?
It's like the guy has an idea about Torah that he's living.
Right.
And that idea is just so far-fetched that it's not even considered.
Right.
Addressing the other kind of point.
I understand. Yeah, okay. Anyone else? Yep.
Maybe it's also that it's something which looks like an ideal, spending all his time in Torah, but it's something which is completely impossible on a mass scale.
Right.
So I can see like in terms of the systemic effects, I
understand. Right.
The thing of that is that the point they were making is that was saying that it must be that this approach is a defect in even your learning, even your direct learning. So learning itself is a defect.
Right.
I'm not answering
that. Right, but some of you said that didn't seem compatible with you. Sorry.
The Rambam says that there's systemic effects and then there are personal effects. So
right.
It is interesting how he divides the systemic effects into three different objects of harm, like Yishem Hashem, and the Torah, and the Das. Because, like, let's say he just said, it's a Chil Hashem. I think a lot of us would just, like, group it all into one thing, like, oh, it's bad for the system. But, like, he's clearly making a decision,
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, okay, so, so let me try to explain this. So, I think that see, part of the thing of the Torah is that the Torah is good, and it's true. And a person, that's the Torah's you know, what Torah says about itself. Like, why should you give the Torah? Why should we follow the Torah? Because it's true and it's good. This is it. This is life. And that's the message of the Torah. That's the appeal of the Torah. Is this is a religion of truth, and follow the Torah because it's true and because it's real, not because it will give you other stuff. It's just like Mnei Shoemes, because it's true. And the Talmid Chachamim, in theory, are the spokesmen, the people who are devoted to Torah, are the people who are the spokesmen of the religion, and they speak for what the Torah is all about. Torah Lishma. This is it. And when you have the people who are devoting themselves to Torah, and they're living a life where the Torah is their job, and they're basically, it becomes like Torah becomes a means. It becomes a means for, look, some people become doctors, some people become lawyers, some people become call guys, some people get supported through tzedakah, and it's just a convenient way for you to basically make a living. And that's the way it appears. And as it appears that the person is like, is using the Torah, as it says, you can't use the Torah as like a crayon to make to raise yourself up, nor as a shovel to dig with. Because you can use the Torah for your own kavod, or you can use the Torah for your own physical monetary benefits. So what happens is that now you, I think internally and towards the way it's perceived, is that now the Torah becomes used or looked at as a tool of something else. It cheapens the Torah. It makes the Torah, instead of it being that the Talmid Chacham are involved in the Torah per se for its own sake, now it becomes looked at as a tool of some hana in this world. That's what it says. You can't have hana in this world from Torah. It's not meant for that, because then it undermines what it really is. It makes it into something which is not really worth pursuing in its own right. Even though, like, he'll say, no, I would have done it anyways, but still, it's like, first of all, emotionally, when he, insofar as he's concerned, he relates to this as his livelihood. That's just the way he feels about it. And he becomes, it kind of dilutes the Torah. Now it becomes his tool of making a living. Now, yeah, also Lishma, I mean, once there's an also, it has a primary emotional value to him, is that his source of his bread. And in terms of the way people look at it also, it's like, yeah, he's not doing Torah because it's true, he needs to make a living. That's the way they look at it. Look, he lives on the Torah. And it becomes the idea of the Torah, of people who are poor, who are rich, whatever they are, but they're learning Torah because this is it. That's what the Torah is trying to teach and trying to give off the idea of. That this is l'tov lach, this is for your good. It's not... The good of the Torah isn't money, and it's not the worldly utility it's just going to have. The good of the Torah is intrinsic. So it waters down and dilutes the message of the Torah. It makes the Torah makes it into a tool of something, it's like another profession. So that undermines especially significant, because these are the guys, I mean, these are the guys who are the models. Like in Chol Hashem, the Hilchos Chol Halachos Chol Hashem, the Ram talks, I think it's a Sefer Mitzvos or in the Halachos, I forget. But he singles out Talmid Chachamim, or Yeshiva guys who are involved in the Torah, as being a different type of Chil Hashem can merge from them, because people look at the Torah and they judge the Torah by the people who are involved in learning. So here they give forth the idea that the Torah is really just as a way to make a living. Question? Yes.
Can you say that about any
language? It could be that you could. It could be you could, but the only thing is that here it becomes like a noticeable. I mean, the average lishma is an internal personal thing that a guy may have. I mean, at least in terms of the systematic problems, is that this becomes a society sets up like this as an ideal, and it becomes on a society on a noticeable, obvious level. So in terms of the am, whether he internally is doing it because he wants people to look up to him, that's his own personal issue. And you're right. In terms of that, I mean, I'd say as a person who ultimately is doing the Torah Lishma, and he isn't really attached to the Lishma of Torah, isn't really getting the benefit of the Torah either. But here's like it's a system. Like, a guy's always striving to get to from the Lishma to Lishma, but here he's setting up a life of which is fixing him into the Lishma. I mean, so normally guys may learn for other reasons, but then from the Lishma you can go to Lishma. Here he's like he's setting this up as his job, so he's locking himself into this thing. So that's there's locking him into the Lo Lishma. So that Lo Lishma isn't the guy who's getting a Lo Mamba from the Torah. Lo Mamba is from the Lishma. So why is he really attached to the Torah? You know, but he's setting up a life of where he's like, this becomes who he is. You follow me? Not happy.
I don't know. Like, what if a guy says, okay, I'll do it for a year?
I don't know what this was talking about. I mean, I don't think, I mean, it could be like maybe a guy could do something for you. I mean, the problem is in terms of the system, there's two levels. I mean, maybe in terms of himself, you could say, yeah, it's a similar thing. A guy's going to decide for a year I'm going to pursue Torah because I want to be win the competition of the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world, you know. Maybe that would be, you know, or some personal thing. That may be the same thing. But here, it's like, insofar as the obvious noticeable effect that he's setting up, that's the year is going to do the harm. Because he's making a statement to the world. This is what the Torah is. So you can, you know, normal internal Lo Lishma thing doesn't do that. You're not making a statement. That's just there's a root that a person has Lo Lishma. That's like internally, what do you do? That's just what you do. But you don't. But doing an action of doing it is a whole different. It's making a statement and it's fixing yourself in a path. So that's Lo Lishma, something we strive for and set up as our method. It's you know, it's a stepping stone. Yes.
In the Torah society that recognizes that Torah is important and Torah is intrinsically good is going to also recognize that you need certain people to be involved in it and to pass on the Torah. So if a person is going to say, I'm going to inconvenience the whole, you know, tzibur in order to make them support me, fine. But if the tzibur is the type of tzibur that, you know, supports Torah, then why is that necessarily mavaza as a Torah and extinguishing the light of the dust? And even in terms of him, like, if he recognizes, you know, even the intrinsic good of Torah, recognizes that it needs to be continued, so...
Well, that's a question, is does it really need that? I mean, that's what Moshe held, and nowadays this doesn't apply, because the Torah, I mean, I guess at his time or nowadays, I don't know, there's the danger of the Torah being lost, and like, all bets are off, and the Torah... We got to have the Torah, and if we don't have guys who are learning and devoting all their energy and time to learning, Torah is not going to exist. You know, so he held that it's okay. You know, and there are different times in history where, you know, the argument that has been made. I'm the first one to make that argument. But the question is you have to really deem that's necessary. I mean, that's something a person has to evaluate, and it's not clear that that's true, that you need people who are only learning all day long, supported by tzedaka, and, you know. I just don't know if it's true, especially not to the extent that it is. I mean, nowadays kol is a very misused type of a thing. It's looked at, and people look at it as a kol as a way to basically, like in Israel, for instance, it's looked at as a way to basically get out of the army and as a way to just not have to whatever. It's an easy life. Like the idea, there's like stereotypes, the kol guy who's sitting around and bumming out and doing whatever. It's just an easy life. It becomes like the Torah, becomes portrayed that way. So, like, maybe there is such a thing like that, and you could try to make the argument, which it's a hard argument. I don't know. I don't think it's clear, but depends, I guess, in the world and when and where and whatever. But, you know, you'd have to make that argument, which is, again, some have made that argument. I mean, I won't say it's Rebbe about that, Rav Moshe. He said Rav Moshe holds that, but the Rambam is still the Rambam. I mean, he didn't see, you know, I don't think he was convinced. You know, I don't see, I mean, look, there's such a thing as, like the Rambam talks about it. I mean, throughout the, I mean, there's always been hardships in Balaam Misora. And the Rambam says, I mean, look at the Shrid Rambam, and I think it's Avos Dalet Hay. He really says, there's been a lot of big Dal Yisrael. We've never seen anything like Dal Yisrael saying to the Tzibor, so support me. There are a few isolated cases where whatever, but he says that was a guy who was like crippled and he couldn't work. Or, I don't know, there's like, he goes through the thing. He says, it's just not something we found. And the Torah's made it for many years, and it doesn't seem like there had to be a massive, wide call, you know. You know, and it's, there's a certain respect for a guy who's an individual, self-supported. There's just a certain image of a guy who's a dependent. The tzibor looks at the person as they have him in his hand and in his pocket, because now he's a dependent. He's someone who the rich guy feels like he pays that guy's that guy's meal for food. So that's a certain type of an image of the Torah guy becomes, it lessens the image of the Tony the Chomer, of Lai Masora, the fact that they're in the pockets of all the big generous donors in the world.
Right, it also functionally puts the tzibur in control of,
right,
of Torah, like,
right,
see it happen with
in the area of like shuls and stuff in terms of ritual, like hiring a rav, and then you know his tenure is dependent on whether
exactly. It becomes it puts it into a certain type of control. And the image of the Talmud Chacham becomes tarnished or lessened, I think. Let's look at the next Rambam. There's another Rambam who continues on this theme, and it's a new halacha. It's interesting. He says, "Maila gedola hi lemishu mispardes v'maisiyadav." It's a great maila for someone who's supported by his own work. Umidas chasidim reshonim, and it's umidas chasidim reshonim. Ubezeh zochel kol kavod v'tovah shvalom hazeh v'olam haba. And through that, you'll be zoch in all the kavod and all in this world and the world to come. So a person supports himself; it's the greatest for him in this world and the world to come. So what's this? It sounds like it's something different, right? I mean, it sounds related, but it's like a new start. That it's a great thing for a person to be supported by himself. Right, what's this? What's this different from what was previously said? I mean, it's kind of implicit in the, what he already said, right? That you shouldn't be supported by tzedakah. So, yeah. It's, but it's like it's a new thing. It's
that
like a maila gedola.
That's weird. Because there's a midas chasidus. Or the chasidim of
Jonathan. You know? You're right.
Like, where's the in-between? If you're either
what's
you're
the
being the worst person in the world by being supported by tzedakah, or you're supporting yourself in the chasid all of a sudden.
Right. But it could be there's like a guy who makes it his shita, I'm supported by tzedakah, versus a guy who maybe sometimes is needy or whatever. He's like a maila gedola to become like an an independent. So what's this maila? What's he talking about here? Yes.
When you go over the English
one. It's a great level for a person who supports himself, and it's a midah of the early pious people. And through this, you get all the kavod and all the good in this world and the world to come. And he quotes a pasuk to support it.
This is just in general, just nothing to do with Torah?
Oh, it's true, I don't know. Does it mean like a guy is a businessman, and Bill Gates is Miley Gdola, he supports himself? I don't know. I'm assuming he's on the heels of what he just talked about. And so far as the person is involved in Torah, but I'm not sure. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine it means any guy who supports himself is Zohol and Hazel and Abba. And any businessman is, but I assume he's talking about in the context of what we just discussed. Anyone? Yes.
I think we may have touched on this a little bit.
Yes.
Get it out again. In order to show that the Torah is the epitome of what one should be working toward, one has to have a contrast.
Right.
And if you don't have a contrast, then you're unable to do that. So how do you do the contrast? One who only works for Torah, or uses Torah as work, there's no contrast effect going on. But if he works doing other things, and yet he says, I'm still going to devote my life toward Torah, then it's a clear statement that the ultimate value is Torah, as opposed to something else.
Right. I hear you. Okay. Anyone else? Statement to people or to himself?
On a public level, statement to people.
Okay, I was thinking something else. I was thinking another idea, but it doesn't spell out exactly what he's talking about. So it's somewhat conjecturous here. But I was thinking that he means that there's a value for a person internally, psychologically, for a person to be independent. It's good for a person. Psychologically and philosophically, and it reminds me on the opposite extreme is that it says an eved, avdus is bad. It says a person who decides he wants to be an eved forever, he poke his ear, and you make a hole in his ear. It says the ear which heard ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, that to me you b'nei Yisrael should be avodim and not avodim to avodim to other people, should have the ear poked out. Which means is that the state of being an eved to another person, being dependent upon another person, is not a good state for her. It's not philosophically good. A person's dependency should be on God. And insofar as a person is psychologically dependent upon other people, upon the support of other people, he's not independently supported, he's compromised internally. Internally, he's now, he needs other people, and his, who he looks to for his support is human beings. And that's bad. That's why an Eved is that's the most, because he's basically totally, he lives by his master. And his master, so to speak, is his authority. But a person, there's a certain freedom of freedom practically and internally in terms of thinking that a person has when they know that they don't need anybody else to pay to support them. There's an idea that they're independently wealthy, like the idea we're talking about, like of a shul. There's a certain, a shul is maybe a similar example, like a rabbi in a shul. He's beholden to his congregants. There's an idea when a person is beholden to somebody like that, he's not independent, he's not supported from himself, it kind of, it limits him in terms of his own independence. And independence is important for a person in terms of his approaching God. The degree that he needs and he's dependent upon other people, it kind of limits him and hinders him. So it's saying, this is besides for the Chil Hashem or whatever, it's a Maile Gedola. It's important for a person's to feel that he has a freedom. He can do what he wants. He could live what he wants. He could decide that he wants to do a certain halacha in a certain way, and it doesn't matter what someone's gonna. He doesn't have to worry that if he does what's true, he wants to be able to do what's right, and even if someone's gonna be upset by it or whatever, he doesn't have to be worried about that kind of a thing. Someone who's dependent is always looking over his shoulder. He's always feeling like, oh, what's that? What is he gonna think of me? It's nothing to do with what he's gonna think of. What's God gonna think of you? What's objectively? What's the way to live? You with me?
Yeah, so doesn't that also seem to imply that the way you're talking about it now, anyone who is employed by someone else, like a worker?
Sort of, but I don't know. I don't know if it's true. I mean, it's different. It's different than employment, because employment is like a mutual contract. I mean, you're employed by him, he needs you, you need him. Mm-hmm. There's different than so someone supports you. Someone supports you, it's like...
Then it's like an act of kindness.
Yeah, it's an act of kindness, right. You owe him one. But like your boss, you owe him one. I mean, you're working for him. He needs you. He needs someone to fill your place. And it's true, you may have the upper hand. And, you know, there might be a similar thing. It depends on your psychology, I guess. A certain person may feel that way about his boss. But in theory, there's a reciprocity in the relationship when you have, there's a higher and lower, but it's not really a dependent.
Right.
It's a good question. I hear what you're asking, but... Maybe there's some truth to that, but it's different. It's different than a guy who's supported, you know. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So this. Yeah.
Someone who's teaching Torah and getting paid for it.
I don't know. That's a good question. There's all kinds of shaylos about these kinds of things. Teaching Torah.
But in terms of that, he is doing his own thing. They need someone to do that.
Yeah, it's true. But still, there's questions about that. It's not so simple. And it does become complicated if you're trying to teach Torah and get paid for it, and then you want to teach certain things which are true, and then you kind of take the heat, and then it's not so easy to keep that, you know, to teach the truth when your principal is what, you know, whatever it is. I mean, it's not so easy. I mean, getting paid for teaching is a shaila, and it's something which is in theory in this ballpark. You know, there are solutions for it, but it's, you know, let's leave it alone. Okay. Okay, so this is one side of the story. Okay, so one side of the story is the Rambam's talking about the importance of Parnassa, the importance of independence, of being able to make a living, and we all know about this, right? That's why we all, in theory, are pursuing careers, right? Okay. But there's another side of the story also, which is the significance of Torah, right? Torah is not just about pursuing a career, right? I mean, the world pursues careers. So we don't hold... That's not our only value, pursuing careers. So, I want to get to the... What's the relationship between Torah and careers? So, what I want to do is... there's really, I think, a contradiction to what we've been saying so far in Halacha Vav and Zion. But I just wanted to skim through a few halachas, just to get a feel for it. Because I think Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of Torah, has a very, very important role in the system of the Torah. Okay, first of all, it's in Yisodei HaTorah. It's not in Yisodei, it's in Amada. It's not just the regular mitzvah, right? And you'll see, let me just read you some Rambams. Okay, I'm just kind of going to be skimming through, maybe making some points, but each one of these Rambams demands analysis in its own right, but I don't really want to do that right now. So I'm just going to kind of, give a running commentary. So he starts off, B'shloshe k'sar m'chter Yisrael. The Kali Yisrael is crowned with three crowns. Okay, we have three things that have set us apart: our greatness, our crowns, whatever. Keser Torah, Keser Kuhuna, Keser Malchus. Okay, Torah, Keser Kuhuna, Malchus. Keser Kuhuna goes to Aaron, Malchus is to David. Keser Torah, Harimunach va'omeru muchal lakal. Keser Torah is available for anyone who wants to take it. Kol mishir tziyav v'vital. Shema Tomar Shoson Ksarin Gadolim Keser Torah. Maybe you'll say that the other crowns are greater than the Torah. Hari Omer b'malachim yimlochu v'rozim yichok v'tzedek b'shlarim yeshuru. Pasuk which is talking about Chachma, it's in Mishlei. Says with me, with Chachma, with Torah, the crown, kings reign through using Chachma, and all everything comes from Chachma. Halmantash a keser Torah gadol mekeser kuna keser malchus. The crown of Torah is the greatest crown of the Jew. Okay, and Amru Chacham Mamzer Tamu Chacham Kodem Kohen Gadol Amaretz. A Mamzer is Tamu Chacham has precedence over even the Kohen Gadol. He's not Amaretz. So the Torah Chachma is it. I'm jumping Gemal. Ein Lachem Mitzvah B'Chol Mitzvah Kulam Shiknu Shkula Kenei Tamu Torah. El Talmud Torah connected to all mitzvahs. No mitzvah is equal to Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is equal to all mitzvahs. She Talmud may be the Maisa. Talmud leads you towards actions, which I think he means. Lefikach Talmud kodol Maisa b'chol makom. So on a basic level, means through learning, through knowledge, a person practically knows how to act. But he sees the value of actions, and he's moved towards. If a person doesn't learn, they're not going to be attached to Torah. I mean, on a deep level, on a true level. It's through learning Torah that you see the depth of the Torah, you see the wisdom of the Torah, you become involved in the ideas of the Torah. Learning is what brings a person to Torah. And that's the cornerstone of the Torah, is a person to is involved in Torah. A person who learns is different than a person who just keeps, you know, on a surface level keeps Torah. To really get involved in the Torah, it's through knowledge. Then he says like this, and hey, T'chilos dino shal adam eino nidan al talmud. The pride, the beginning of a person's din, is Din and Shemaim is on how he learns. Okay, Achar Kach HaShamayim, so then on other things. So your primary first Din is the degree that a person is involved in Torah. The Figa Chamru Chachamim, La'olam Yasek Adam Torah, Afil Shal Shema, Shemitel Shal Shema Bal Shema, that a person should always be involved in Torah, even Lo Shema. Torah is not just another mitzvah that you say, oh, whatever, it's not for me, I'm not really Lishma, I'm not. This is it. Torah is the main thing. And the person has to be involved, has to be Kona Torah, has to be involved in Torah. And it leads to Lashma. But a person can't just say, it's not something and say, look, if it doesn't lead to Lashma, this is where the main thing. You gotta devote your energies to this. This is the main involvement in the Torah, and it leads a person. This is the root. The root towards becoming attached to Torah, Lashma, is through learning of Torah, through knowledge. Okay. Now he says like this. This is Vav and Zayin. Here's what I'm more interested in. Mishnah so libo l'kayim mitzvah karoila. If a person is moved to really be mekayim this mitzvah appropriately, elios mochtar v'kisra shel Torah, to be crowned by the crown of Torah, what should he do? Lo yasiach taitol dvar macherim. He should not distract himself to the other things. Lo yasim al libo shiyek ne Torah im ha'osher ha'kabar gachar. He shouldn't say, I'll get Torah and money and well and fame, you know, kavod together. You shouldn't do that. Don't do them together. Kachi darkas the Torah. This is the way of the Torah. Pas b'melech tochel. He eats bread and water. Yal arith tishan, and he sleeps on the floor. V'chayit saratichya, and he lives a life of pain. V'torah atiyah amel, and he's involved in Torah. V'lo alach alamelech aligmar. And you don't have to finish a job. Don't say, listen, I can't do it. It's not for me. I'm not going to become a big Talmud Chacham. You don't have to finish it. There's no goal that you have to reach. It's not like a choice. This is Torah's mitzvah. It's a chiyuv. The more Torah you're involved in, the more schar. And the schar, the reward, is in accordance with the pain. Okay? Reward is in accordance with the pain. Okay? Shema Tomar. Okay, this we have to understand. What's the deal here? What's all this pain, and why do you have to have bread and water, and why does it have to be so painful, and right, why is the reward in accordance with the pain? What's he talking about here, right? And what about, says a person shouldn't be involved in getting the Torah and the Kava and the money. But what do you mean? I thought a guy has to get the money, right? And he's like this, Shema Tomar. Maybe a person will say, Ad she'ekbotz mamon v'achzav ekra, first I'll get money, and then I'll go learn. I'll get what I need to get, and then I'll go learn. If you think of this, if this is how you're thinking, you're never going to get the Keser Torah. You should make your Torah keva, fixed, and your malacha should be aroi. It should be like temporary or secondary, something like that. Don't say when I get a chance I'll learn. Maybe you're not going to get it. Maybe you're never going to turn. You're not going to get that. Okay. So the saying is don't put Torah on the back burner or whatever, but a person's devoting has to be devoting himself to Torah and everything else has to be secondary. And let me just read one more thing. Is the Rambam elaborates on this idea of what this idea is. What does it mean? It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the idea of Asei Torah Slakeva and Malach Tcharoi. You should make your Torah fixed and the Malacha secondary. And the Rambam in this Pirush Mishnah says very strange. He says, Amar Asei Talmud Torah Iker V'chol Sharm Asakefa Zulasot Tfeilam. So Torah should be Iker, main, primary, and everything else. All your other dealings should be secondary. Okay, now here's it gets interesting. In nizdamein, these secondary things, if you get them, you get them. In lo nizdamein, but if you don't get them, your other things, your money, your job, your whatever, in nezek ve'yadro, there's no damage, there's no harm in not having them. No big deal, as long as you have Torah. But what do you mean? What does that mean? If you don't have a job, then it's no big deal? I mean, then how are you going to live? But what about those other problems? You're going to be in stuck on all those things. I mean, what does he mean that it's no nezek if you don't have other stuff? I mean, there's got to be other stuff which you need. Right? So I understand the idea that Torah is the main thing, but what does he mean? He's like, a person should look at it as the Torah is the main thing and other stuff, if you get it, great. Yes, yes, no, no. You know, if I get a job, great. If I don't, no. If I have food, whatever. Kind of, it doesn't really matter. Right? I mean, it seems to be against the idea of that a person has to be independent and has to have a job and it's Chil Hashem if he doesn't and all that. Right? I mean, what's the... It seems to be painting a different type of a picture where basically a guy is totally involved in Torah and these other things kind of don't really have much significance. Right? So much so you think he should pain and suffering and, you know, what's all that? What's all this about? Right? Okay, so a lot of questions here. Anyone want to comment on anything? Yes, Chaim.
Halacha of, I guess, Vav, where he's saying that you should sell legal to thank you for the right, or just in general, even if whatever you're doing, even if you're going to work and you're going to be involved in Parnassa, you're also going to be involved in Torah, you have a choice as to how you relate to each one of the things that you're doing.
Okay, good.
And they're saying in the beginning of the parak is that your view towards Torah should be that it is the ikar, and that is really what you're judged upon.
Okay.
And the other thing is it's not really an ikar to have osher, to have kavod. You might need these things because in order to be in the right state, you might need to do these, but your energies should be mostly into the Torah, and these other things are really functioning for that. As opposed to someone who's pursuing osher or kavod, their energies are really trying to attain that, as opposed to Torah for what it really is.
Right. Okay. Good. Yes. Ma'am.
It's strange, like in between. You can't use Torah as a crown. You're allowed to use the same lashon, but you have to. You're not going to get the crown of Torah if you don't have a stick in it.
It's
true. Yeah.
This is true. What does he mean by the crown here, the crowns of Torah?
Another question itself.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's not. It's a good question. That's a good question.
Seems like the general idea in these realms is the prioritizing of Torah amongst your other goods that you're pursuing.
Okay.
Like, it seems like, when, like, let's say, for example, when he says you're going to live the life of Tsar and, like, eat bread and water and salt and stuff, you know, I don't, like, it doesn't seem like he means that you should you should make that into your lifestyle and never exceed that, but he seems to mean like your involvement in Torah should not be precluded by the fact that you're gonna have to live in these other types of situations, you know, or like saying I'm gonna collect money and then do Torah is like, you know, like, guy can convince himself that he is, that Torah is going to be the thing he's looking forward to,
right.
But in actuality, he's really prioritizing these other things.
Right.
And I think I'm pretty sure I heard Rebbe's explanation of the Ram Pirush Mishnayos there also was a similar idea that that when the Ram says, like, you know, if it is Daman, then fine, if not, then in Nezgudover, that not that, like, the guy is totally discarding all practicality, but that the area of his, like, successes and failures and ups and downs and distress and, like, elation is not in the realm of, like, success and finance. Like, in other words, for him, his involvement in Torah is important, and if he has a setback, like, that's not derailing his life. Like, his life is involved in Torah. So the Rambam is expressing more of a, like, a barometer for how to measure whether your Torah is kevin and your malach is arai, as opposed to saying, like, don't worry about things that happen that are bad. You know?
Right.
So it's all about, like, prioritizing.
Right, the way you feel about it. Right, I hear you.
I'd say it's the same thing about Paspin Ochtocha and Vaschar Lefiatzar. It's not giving a prescription that you should pain yourself as much as possible. And the more you pain yourself and torture yourself, the more schar. It's generally a barometer for where you're placing your energies. Meaning, your average person would view it as tzara, but the person who's in that situation, his energies are just in a different place, so it's not bothering as much to Paspin Ochtocha, meaning he's getting the satiation that he needs, and that's it. So
like, but it sounds like it's tzar, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds like the Rambam's describing tzar.
Yeah, in one framework, it is tzar, meaning it's not the.
But does he mean like that someone else will look at it as tzar, but he's like, cool, don't worry about it? Or it sounds like he's actually suffering?
It could be, yeah, his physical body is suffering, but he just doesn't. His energies are not in that area for him to just really
care about it
that much, as much as your average person would. Yeah.
Okay.
It seems like, I don't know, it seems like the
opposite.
It seems like tsar, he is experiencing tsar. Like,
sounds like it, right? Sounds like he is valuing tsar.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't say that. But
does sound, though, like he's ascribing value to the tsar, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a principle that it's easier to keep Torah when you're in poverty than in Torah when you're in wealth.
Okay.
It seems like this is going along those lines.
But that's like it's easier. That's like, you know what I mean? It's like a secondary thing. Here it sounds like the tsar itself, the pain itself gives you the tsar somehow. You know what I mean? That's like, it's easier, but if a guy, it's not a natural, it's not a necessary thing. If a guy could do it and, you know, and he's wealthy, it's not, you know what I mean? It's not the pain which is the value, it's just like a secondary thing, what you're saying, I think. Yeah.
Isn't the thing about the more score, the more scar, it's a different sentence that says the reward is commensurate with the pain?
Yeah, the reward is commensurate with the pain.
So it's the reward of Torah is commensurate with how you break your teeth on a sukkah, but not necessarily with the pain of the fact that your back has, you know, welts on it because you're sleeping on a bad bed.
Well, I don't know
so
if he's talking
like
about the pain of the hard sukkah. I mean,
sounds like he's talking about pain of having minimal water, you know,
right. Sounds that way. It doesn't sound like he's just going off in a whole different direction. He's saying is the pain of, you know, I don't think. It sounds related at least. Otherwise, it's just from nothing to do with it. And it says, there's a painful, so it seems like a pain. It sounds like there's pain. I mean, this isn't too popular nowadays. I don't think people are so into the pain part of the thing.
Maybe it's saying that,
you know, some people like pain.
The ones who are getting paid a lot of money.
Maybe it's saying a person's energies are naturally into his physical upkeep, and he is going to have to force himself to pull away from that. And that is the tsar. So it's kind of like the tsar, meaning because he's going to have to work on that.
Right.
It's not something that's going to naturally.
Right. I mean, it doesn't just happen.
Right.
Guy can't just be that guy. It takes work. Painful work. Okay. Okay, good. Anyone else have any comments?
When we say painful work, it's like painful work in the sense of sacrifices as well.
Yes. Right? Sacrifices. Right. Yeah, I mean, I elaborate a little bit, but yeah. So I think you guys are saying good stuff. That in the Torah, the idea of Iker and Tafel, the good way to say it is that the Torah is the ends, and everything else is a means. Okay, the only value in Torah is what a Torah, per the Torah saying, a person's life should be is Torah, and his attachment to the Torah, to the truth, to God, to reality, to knowledge, you know, all those words, whatever, right? But I'm just going to call it Torah, okay? But the idea is that, like, a person, I think everyone has this, I think. I'm not sure if everyone has it, but I think this is just the way a person, like, what makes a person tick. Ultimately, what drives a person? There's an idea of an ikker in a person's life. Okay, one person's ikker may be women. And everything somehow centers around how he's going to get a girl. Right? Everything. Right? It's, yeah, he wants to make money, so then he'll be able to get the girls to, you know, whatever. I mean, somehow there's some sort of way. That's kind of what every, you know, ultimately it all boils down to that. You know, another guy's thing may be success. I want to be a successful guy. Rich, whatever his idea is. And ultimately, whatever he's doing is kind of somehow involved in that picture. Right? I mean, this guy could have secondary things or whatever, but there's an idea, I think, of there's an ikker in a person's life. And a person has to kind of be honest with himself and try to, what am I looking for in life? What's the main thing? Where is my energy going? Now, again, I'm not sure. Maybe some people could just be totally have five different things going on. But I think in general, the person has one or two, like, ultimately, what are they really going for? You know, are they going for approval? Are they going for wealth? Are they going for women? Are they going for physical pleasures? Are they going for knowledge? You know, whatever it is. But it's saying is that in the Torah, the only thing that's really worthwhile is knowledge. And everything else is fleeting and has its frustrations. And this is worthwhile, I'd say, on different levels, on a philosophical level and even on a psychological level in terms of happiness. The life which the Torah sets out is the life which is good for a person on many levels. And the idea of Torah Scha Iker, or Torah Scha Keva, Matcha Roy, means that, yeah, a person has lots of things and you need malacha. But the value of malacha is not intrinsic. You don't really need malacha. You really need Torah. Now, yeah, if you don't have malacha, then your Torah isn't going to be good. You're going to be mechalas Hashem. You're going to be holding to other people. It's going to relate to Torah as a means because you need to use that for malacha for your job. But what's the point now that I have a job? What's the value? That I have a job? No, that's not the value. The value is that I have Torah. And that's the method of me attaining the Torah. And if I don't get a job, let's say I'm poor, what's the harm? Okay, I'm poor. Big deal. The harm is if it prevents me from learning, but if it stops my Torah, then it's a harm. But intrinsically, there's no harm in not having money. The guy could be poor, as could be, but that's not intrinsically, that's like momentary thing. That's not, doesn't really make a difference. What really matters is the person's involvement in a life of Torah. And there's poor people like Hillel who is excessively poor, but he had the greatest life. Yeah, there's temporary, you know, inconveniences and practical pains and, you know, small things. But the harm, that's not intrinsically, it doesn't ultimately matter. Those things, and that's the thing that means is that if you don't have it, it ain't nezek badger. It doesn't really harm you. It means ultimately it doesn't really. Of course, it may harm your learning, but it means there's no intrinsic harm in the thing. The idea of it's, I think the way the Ram takes Keva and Aroi is he for me says Iker and Tafel. Tafel means it's secondary. It means there's no intrinsic, like let's say, I guess you have salt as a Tafel to a food. There's no value in salt, right? The value is in the food. It's just the salt is, you know, it makes the food taste good. But it's a spice, it's a secondary thing. It's secondary to the primary. The value is the primary thing that you're eating a good dish. And the dishes, what you're eating, this, all the spices, is secondary. So the saying is, I think that's the saying, a person has to work to make that. And first of all, there's two things. First of all, a person has to see the idea that there is a concept of what makes it, what ultimately drives a person. And I think a person has to think into, I mean, on a philosophical, and convince oneself philosophically, psychologically, that that's what should be the anchor. That's what should be the anchor. I mean, otherwise you're never going to be able to do it unless you decide that it makes sense. So, I mean, we can have lots of discussions about why that is. But in terms of, on a basic level, the person should realize psychologically these other lives that a person's pursuing are lives of frustration and pain and suffering. They don't really give a person. A person has an emptiness in those lives. Like, what is a person? Like, another person. Another what makes a person tick sometimes is like sports. That's a common thing. What makes a person tick is sports. That's what their life is. But that's a person could. A lot of these types of lives, the person has to think about it and think, is this a life? What life? What do I want to pursue in my life? Right? I mean, especially at our age, we're young guys, and that's. What are we going for? What is our goal? What are we striving towards? What's, you know, and we that's what a person has to say. There's an idea of a focus. I mean, we can just go with the flow and whatever. But, I mean, ultimately, a person, a successful businessman is successful because he decides, I'm gonna be successful. And he devotes all his energy and his time to doing that. And that's the way a person, a responsible person does that. I mean, they think, what's important in life? And I'm going to arrange my life around what's really significant. So a person has to I think a person should think into that and decide whether that is that what do you see Torah that way. And I think if you're not convinced that Torah should be the Iker, then you can't go further. Okay, but that's one realm of discussions, and you know something you guys should think about. But the idea that Torah should be the Iker, but that's what Torah holds, is that the life which God set out. Torah is not just the pastime that you do in your free time as a little hobby or whatever. That's not. Look, you could do that. It's not saying there's no such thing as that in Torah, but that's not ultimately the Keser Torah. That's not ultimately the level which the Torah is striving for. There is an idea of an Am, and people could really do that, but that's not, you know, I think most of you guys, you guys are capable of more than that, and it's something which is something you should be thinking about. You know, we have the ability to reach a higher level. But once, if a person does that, the root is not, again, the first thing is you have to be convinced that this is true. Once that's the case, how do you get there? Because we're not born like that. You can't just... No one naturally wants this. Like, you could be convinced intellectually that it should be the Iker, but it's not the Iker. I mean, that's just not how we're brought up. That's not how our emotions are conditioned. That's just not the way we live. That's not the way we are. I mean, we have to strive to get there. And that's why I think what I'm talking about, as you're saying, is the Tzar, as Chaim's mentioning, is that it's... We already have an Iker. I mean, our ikker may be girls, it may be money, it may be whatever it is. I mean, we have an ikker. And if a person sees that the Torah should be the ikker, it takes work. We have to extricate ourselves from whatever else we're involved in. We have to extricate ourselves in whatever involvement we are in the world. Whether it be our involvement with whatever physical things, whether it be with TV, or whether it be with money, or whether it be whatever the case is. I mean, there's an idea that a person has to... In order to make the Torah your ikker, like there's an idea I think is an important point, is that you could notice if the Torah is your ikker. I mean, if the Torah is your ikker, there's a way a person devotes their energy towards an ikker, and the way the person devotes energy towards a tafel. Like there's an idea, like let's say parnasa. So and this is tricky. It's very tricky because like you gotta get a parnasa, and nowadays you can't really live by just devoting an hour a day to parnasa. It just doesn't work. Maybe there was a time in history where such a thing could happen, but like, you gotta go to school, and school is hard, and you gotta study, and you gotta put in time, and there's a lot of energy you gotta put into getting a job. And then even when you get a job, there's a lot of energy that a person has to put into it. But like, at the end, what happens when we get fooled into making that the ikker? Because we put so much time and energy into it. But it's easy to lose focus that it's just a means. You know, and when something is a means, how do we put our energy into a means? When something is a means, so then if we put more energy into making the means perfect than we are to the ends, then something's wrong. Okay, like so maybe if you want to get, maybe the best way to secure, to become successful is to get a 4.0 and to do everything perfect and put in the last ounce of energy into studying and really, and that's the way the guy whose goal, whose ikker is, job is going to do that. But if our ikker is Torah and this is a means, then should we put our last ounce of energy into Torah? And we have to get by on our means and whatever our work we have to do in college and whatever it is. We can't slack off and whatever, but at the same time, there should be a difference. We should notice on ourselves, inspire ourselves and realize, is the Torah our ikker or is the Parnassah our ikker? So Parnassah, yes. We can't take the route of throwing ourselves on the tzibor, but at the same time, we have to realize that the parnasa is a roi, is a tafel, it's a means. And as such, we should devote our energy towards it as a means. And the Torah is our ikar, and therefore a person should be involved in their energy in it, and so far as it's an ikar, it shouldn't just be like a casual thing. And if it is, then fine. Decide that that's what your life is. If you want to decide your life is Torah is the tafel, then fine. Torah is the tafel. That's a life, and that's something. But think into that and make that decision. But if you want Torah to be an ikar, then you got to think into to convince yourself that you want that, and then devote the energy and the time that it takes to it. And it's painful. It's very painful to do, because the society has told us that success is it, and money is it, and pleasure is it, and all these things are it, and whatever values society has told us. So in order to make ourselves to really become the guy who's Torah Slakeva, they think it's painful. Like, I don't know if necessarily we were going to sleep, you know, eat bread and water. You know, maybe we should, but whatever it is, but there's a modern day analog. Is, you know, sometimes you have to force yourself. Like for us, as the Rambam says, like Torah Lishma Balashma. You can't make Torah Slakeva by Lishma learning. We're not born to be Lishma guys. It's not our nature. You gotta work a little bit. So sometimes that means you're gonna have to pull yourself away from the TV and sit and learn. It's not gonna get learning without sitting and learning. You're not going to be Konet Torah without devoting time and energy to learning. And it's hard. It's hard work and it's painful. And, you know, it's hard to just get up and sit down and sit and just devote yourself to learning. But that's the way you're Konet the Torah. The way you make Torah your Iker is by learning how to learn. If you don't know how to learn, it's not going to be an Iker. It just can't be. If you don't know how to learn, when you get a job and you're going to come home at night, you're just not going to learn. You don't know how to learn. It's not pleasurable. It's only pleasurable insofar as you know how to do it. So you got to learn how to learn, and you got to learn how to learn. It takes a lot of hard work, but it pays off. But it's the ikar. If it's the ikar, you got to put in the time to doing it. And just like a person whose job is the ikar, they put in countless hours to making it happen. If the Torah is the ikar, the thing is that it should be noticeable insofar as how a person devotes their energy. I mean, I think that's what's it's important. It's an important idea is to the proper evaluation. And I know myself, I mean, the tricky part is because we have to put so much time into, let's say, parnasa. I mean, I don't know whatever stage of life you guys are at, or, you know, but in college, you know, you got to study a lot. I mean, when you get a job, you really got to put time into these things. And you can easily get fooled into forgetting that, because you got to strive and you got to excel in these things, even if you want to make a good living to be able to learn. You can't just do it in a bad way. It's not going to be efficient for your learning. For your learning, it's best to excel at these things, and that's why it gets tricky, because you know you could fool yourself into I want to learn, so I got to really work. But at the same time, you have to constantly be monitoring your sights and what's really your ikar and what's your tafel. You know, I mean, it's a tricky type of a thing, and that's why I think is, you know, sometimes like we look down at that approach. You know, all those things. We got to be involved in parnasa. We're into that. We value the idea you have to get a job and this, but at the same time, in a certain sense, they're closer to the truth. The Torah is it, you know. Like there's a corruption there for sure, but in their mind, Torah is it. But it's distorted because of what all those other things. But at the same time, we can't forget that we can't pretend like Torah, college, and parnasa and jobs and all these things is really where it's at. It's not really where it's at. It's a necessary means. But it's still just a means. You know what I mean? Question? Clear. No questions. What I think the hard part is, I mean, there's a few hard parts. The first part is to convince yourself intellectually that it's true that the Torah should be an anchor. Which is, you know, it's easy to say. And it's easy for me to say, and it's easy for you to say, yeah, sure. Great, you know, to agree and shake your head, because that's what every rabbi has told you since you were a kid, or whatever, you know? Like, of course, Torah should be Iker, you know, but if it's just like a thing that, you know, you're supposed to do because someone told you you're supposed to do it, it just doesn't work. You're not going to be able to do it, because it's hard. You have to really, it takes an honest assessment, first of all, of what is your Iker, and what are you driven by, and should the Torah be your Iker? You know, I'm saying it should be, or I'm saying it should be, but you got to believe it. You got to see it. You got to believe it emotionally, and you got to see it intellectually. And that's a matter of you have to think into what else are you pursuing, and what else is your goal. You know, what are you going for in life? You got to be going for something. I mean, your goal in life is, You know, it isn't just to just sit around all day and watch TV or something. There's something which you're driving for. Or that's a goal, is just to sit back and just chill out. That's also a goal. Some people just call it whatever, I'll just do whatever. You know, but a person has to really think into what, why should the Torah be my goal? And I think you have to put the time to that. To, if you want to be involved in this, you know, the Zocha and the Kesar Shel Torah, you got to think into why should it be? You got to be honest and, you know, try to beat it up, knock it down, say Torah shouldn't be my goal, why should it be? I don't know, I'd rather be a rich businessman. I don't know, whatever it is, but you got to convince yourself that it's true. Yeah.
Do you think, like, success or pleasure is the same type of icker as saying, like, money's your icker, or, like, women's your icker? Because you could apply success and pleasure to, like, different... So I'm just not sure if you're using...
Well, success, I'm not sure, I don't fully understand your question. Success, I mean, is like, I know, this is, America has this term where you have, we have this term of like success, which I guess has something to do with striking it rich or something like that, or it probably has to do with money, right? I mean, I think that's part of the image, but that's like a certain ideal which the world tells us you're supposed to be going for. Like, for instance, if you tell somebody in the world that I'm going to take a secondary job, you know, like, like, for instance, someone asked me, like, I'm a professor in a community college. So every so often when I tell somebody that, they're like, don't you want to go to, like, a regular college? Do you want to try to get to, like, you know, maybe Queens College or maybe Columbia or, you know, like, you know, wouldn't you want to do that? Like, it's kind of, like, I feel kind of, I don't really have a good answer for them. Like, it works out good for me. It's just a good situation. I just have a good setup. And why should I? Like, for what? You know, but, like, no one, you know, they wouldn't understand that. The world just thinks that's ridiculous. What are you doing? And the world tells you it's ridiculous. What are you doing? Why are you devoting so much time to learning? What, are you crazy? Like, what's, that's the world, they just don't understand. And you know that the world looks at you as crazy. And it's, you feel uncomfortable. Someone just, so tonight asked me that. I felt a little funny. Like, I didn't want to go into it. But, like, they don't, they have a whole different value system. It's not success to be in a community college. And I could get higher. And why don't I get higher, kind of, you know? But it just, whatever, why should I? You know. But there's an idea of, like, we are moved by society. Whether it's people asking you those questions, and people do. You know, you feel funny telling a person that, what do I do? Oh, I spend half my day learning Torah. You know, and even if they don't ask you it, but you know that that's the way you've been brought up on. That's what society is asking you, you know, is telling you to do. But I don't know if I'm answering your question.
I mean, I'm touching on it, but I'm still not clear, because what I mean is that you could apply, like, success and pleasure to, like, you want those things, those are your main things driving you, but some people find that in Torah, maybe, let's say, so, like, that's also a slight distortion of Torah, that's just for, like, pleasure or for success,
right. Yeah,
or you
right.
Have that, like, in money, so I'm asking, is that a different type of drive, like, as an icker?
Right, I mean, I guess if you have Torah, you could, like, have your goal is kavod, and what's driving you is kavod, but you're doing that through Torah.
Right, as opposed to, like, business.
Yeah, right. But I guess that's not. Oh, that's also not really Torah.
Right.
Then you're basically kavod, but that's a distorted form of Torah.
Right. So I'm asking though, but I mean, in terms of the drive, I don't see the clear distinction between the category of, like, a drive of success or kavod or pleasure, and then the category of either whether you're doing it in Torah or whether you're doing it in business or you're doing it in something else. I don't see those two clear. Those lines seem foggy to me. Like, how those are two different categories.
I don't follow you. I mean, I'm saying is that the ultimate value is a person should value Torah, which means truth.
Right.
Because it's true. The life of the Torah. That's what a person's ikar should be. Now, that means, that implicit in that is Torah lishma, what Torah really stands for, not Torah for some other reason.
Right.
If it's Torah for some other reason, then it's similar to just money.
Right.
I mean, it's different. I mean, I guess it is Torah, but it's not really. That's not what I mean by Torah. Torah, I mean...
I know, that's not what I mean. I mean, in terms of, if you want to identify your ikar.
Right,
I understand. Right? So, I mean, there's a difference between, you can see that you're a guy who goes after success.
Right.
But I have a certain idea of success for whatever reason.
Right.
And really, another guy has a different idea of success, and we're really driven by the same ikar of success,
right.
But his ikar and success is in
money.
And
money.
And mine is in Torah, not the Torah.
Right,
and
I understand.
I understand. So I'm asking, is Iker the success, or is Iker the money? Like, for the guy who's not doing it.
Oh, I understand. For the money guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm...
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I'm also off, but I'm just confused.
I understand. Money, I guess... Yeah. I guess, like, Iker could be money, but then I guess, psychologically, probably money means something more to a guy, deeper to a guy than just money. It probably means some sort of idea of approval or a feeling like he's a super guy or, you know, It's like each you get deeper into what's really motivating you. You know, money is like a superficial, like pleasure is a pretty basic thing. Money is, you know, I guess you'd have to maybe listen to a security and wealth discussion too to figure out what money really is driving you. You know, but like each thing you can get deeper into figuring out what's really behind the thing. You know, so money is a surface level. It drives me as money. But I don't know if money really drives a person. Probably something more than more.
So that's what you mean by it.
But I mean that could be it. Yeah, probably. I mean, you could stop in money and you could realize, you know, there are deeper levels of analysis. But if you realize what drives you as money, then you realize what drives you as money. You could think into the deeper levels and think about, it's worth thinking about, is what's driving you really going to make you happy? Is it a life that's worth pursuing, and is it a life that you'll be successful and you'll feel, well, you'll get? Like, if you're driving for money, the question is, when, at what point of money will you ever make it to the point where you feel like you've gotten what you're looking for? And you could start realizing, I'm never going to get to that point, that I'm going to get richer and richer and richer, and I'm never quite there. I mean, that's what you have to think into. What life are you pursuing, and is it really going to pan out for what it's going to promise you? And then is the life of Torah promise you more, or is it worth, you know, more worthwhile? You know? But I think the point is that everyone organizes their life around something. And that's the main thing. There is an ikker. You organize your life. A person's, you know, and we're at stages of life where we're organizing our lives, and it should be around something, and we have to have our priorities. And there are priorities, whether we may not think about them, but we ought to, because they're there, and we just have to, you know, we got to put our finger on them and try to figure out what they are and what they should be, and if we're happy with what they are. Because it would be a shame if we just didn't examine our lives and prioritize our life and ended up in a place where we didn't end up really wanted because we didn't think about it. So at least let's decide that I want my life to be that I'm going to be a millionaire. If that's your decision, fine, then that's your decision and you'll live with it. Question? Yeah, okay. So I would advise you guys, again, this is, I'll be opening up, you know, the beginning of a route here. I don't think anyone's going to get anything just by hearing me talk about this. You know, if you don't have any questions, then I don't know, either whatever, agree, disagree, whatever it is. But even if you agree, I don't think you're going to get anything from it without making this personal, you know, and thinking into the thing on your own and really coming up with questions. And I welcome further, you know, questions that will, you know, because it's too easy. It's not, you know, you guys aren't angry enough. You know, you gotta have some resistance here. This is not, you know, so either you're just shy or you don't want to talk up or, you know, whatever it is. But this is hard. This is hard stuff. And I'm not proving anything really. I'm just saying stuff, you know. You gotta really think into these things and we can have further conversations about this. But I'm hoping to open up, you know, hopefully these are things we've already thought about. But if we haven't, I think sometimes we need reminders of these things. But I'm hoping that this will start thinking, and you know, thinking in all of us about how we should, myself included. I mean, this is something we sometimes forget about this stuff. But it's worthwhile pursuing this route, because this is kind of where it's all at. I mean, you know, sometimes we get lost in the day-to-day whatever, but what's our perspective and what's our focus is very fundamental into everything that we're doing. So, you know, well, hopefully we could, you know, if you guys have questions, feel free to tell them to me. Maybe we could have further, you know, pursue this further. Or maybe we could have more, you know, discussions like this. Okay, any questions?
Yeah. We haven't addressed the Tsar thing.
Yeah, so I think the Tsar thing is because I think it's important. But, like, a person is not naturally, Torah is not naturally your ikker. You're not born and raised on Torah and being your ikker. So something else is, and other stuff is, and even if you have some value of Torah, you have other stuff being the ikker. And in order to make it your ikker, you gotta really push yourself, at least especially at the beginning where it's lo lishma. It's mitosh lo lishma, but when it's lo lishma, it's conflicted, especially at the beginning. And this is important also. It's like, learning isn't so much fun when you don't know how to learn. The more you know how to learn, the more fun it gets. You know, it's just hard. At the beginning, it's hard. You know, whether it be involved in learning how to read the language, learning how to translate words, learning how to make a landing on a Gemara, learning how to give svaras. It's a long route, and it's painful. And there's a lot of... That's one part of the pain, is that it's hard to learn. But it's hard because it's actually hard, and because it's much easier to just sit and watch TV or to do whatever it is, to hang out with your friends. It's just much... There's emotionally, that's where your energies are at. So if you want to remove yourself from all these other things and to make Torah your ikker, that's not Torah your ikker doesn't mean you're sitting around all night long watching TV and hanging out with your friends. That's not Torah being your ikker. So, but if you are doing that all night long, you got to stop it, because otherwise it's not going to become your ikker. So that's painful. So I think It's schar l'fi atzar means that the if it's painful, don't say, oh, it's too hard, I can't do it. I mean, I'm not saying a person, it's tricky, because I'm not saying a person should just totally close off every pleasure they have and just devote, you know, there's an idea of burning out, and there's something that's, you know, I don't know if that's a danger, you know, I don't know if that's really a danger here, but but the degree, insofar as a person does devote themselves to learning, and the work about making it your ikkar is a painful process, because it involves cutting ties with other things which are momentarily, you know, the instant gratification, you know, pleasurable and enjoyable, and you have to kind of rework your value system, and that's hard. It's hard work, and it's gonna be tsar. But I'd say v'schal fi tsar. And so far as you're doing you're doing it, and it's painful, it means you're working it through. But and it gets easier. That's one thing I can tell you. It gets easier. The more you do it, the more you get it. First of all, because you learn how to learn, and you learn how to enjoy learning, and also because you start realizing that stuff is frustrating anyways, and you start pulling your energy away from it, and you end up, you know, it pays off. Danielle.
If you make a lot of money quickly, like win the lottery or whatever,
yeah,
and then you just essentially learn in cola all the time, would that be, like, is there still some sort of idea of working just for...
That's a good question.
Or is it just because you
that's
don't
a good question.
Others?
I don't know.
There's some merit to them all.
There might be something. I'm not sure. There's other things about, like, you know, I don't know. I say it depends on the person.
Because, like, doesn't the Rambam have, like, a certain amount of time he says you should devote to each thing? It's,
yeah,
like, you think if someone's really good at whatever their work is,
right,
they can make money easier. Why should they have to set aside the same amount of time?
Right. No, I think so. There might be something for a person. Is, I mean, I guess it depends on a person, but it's rare that a person could really devote all their energy to learning. Like, to 24/7, you know, like, it could be a person needs a certain involvement in physical labor or in doing something.
But I'm saying, like,
small.
Shouldn't there also be the idea that maybe some people have to do more work and some people could do less work?
Both? Could be, psychologically, that's true. But I think still, it still has to be as a means towards learning Torah. So a person has to be honest about what they really need. Like, a person may say, I need to watch a half hour TV before I could learn. Maybe it's true. But do you need to watch 5 hours of TV? You know, like, there's a person has to be honest, because there is such a thing as, like, you know, a person needs to relax. You come home from work, you had a hard day, you need to relax and chill out, you know. But there's also such a thing as a person using that as an excuse to never learning. So,
but could working function, like, as a part of living Torah, like, as in
it could
doing something productive with your work?
Yeah.
So, like,
like what? You mean like a non-profit organization or something like that?
Yeah, I mean,
it should be liquidity to the market.
Ideally, should be somehow helping society, and so.
No, that's true.
You're performing a service for another person.
That's true.
And if you're good at it, then you're.
That's true.
More of a service.
That's true. No, that's true. Like, the Ram was a doctor, for sure. But still, I think Torah is there. Like, that's what the Ram says: the primary din of a person is on Talmud Torah. So look, there is such a thing that there is important to be there. Important to have doctors. Important to have a lot of things, you know. But even for the doctor, if he's able to, again, not every person is, you know, is possibly capable of learning or whatever. But the primary thing, I think, most of us, the guys who are here, are capable of devoting themselves to learning and excelling in it. And that's true. There's chesed and helping people, but the primary din of a person is Talmud Torah, because the Torah. Even your attachment to chesed is going to be different insofar as you have knowledge, insofar as you're attached to the real values of the chesed. Because you see the truth, you know, the chesed of Avraham Avinu is real knowledge of God, and he's emulated me this Kosh Baruch. It's a different life. A life of a person who has Torah is different.
Like, that's my point. Like, whenever we discuss, like, Talmud Torah being the essence of it, we always focus on how, like, then you start thinking about, like, just learning all the time, but then acting it out.
Right. No, that's part of it.
If you're only learning, when are you going to be...
Right. Well, that's part of learning. Part of learning is a person like the Ram, for instance, there was a need to rose and he did it. You know, there are situations, like the Ram has also. If another mitzvah comes along, so if someone else could do it who's not learning, then they do it. If not,
right,
then you do it.
But, like, why shouldn't you do it even if someone else could? Like, why not take this opportunity to perform a mitzvah?
Oh, because the primary perfection of a person so far is involved in knowledge. And why so someone else could do it? Like, if they look, it's important to do, and oftentimes there's someone else could do it. But the Torah holds that the greatest mitzvah in the Torah is Torah. That's the Ram says right at the beginning. the primary din of a person is on Torah. Torah is knowledge, and knowledge is the way we relate to God. You know, but again, it does. But you see, if no one else can do it, then you have to do it. So there's a balance. But I'd say, even in your chesed, the way you become a real Baal Chesed is through Torah, not just through feeling like a Baal Chesed. It's the Torah teaches all these things, and to the degree that you're a Chacham, and the degree that you really are attached to the values of the Torah, then you'll do these things really altruistically. Oftentimes, these things can be used as excuses, you know, that to not pursue Torah. Yeah, I'm doing something good, and that's true. Those things are good, but still, there's no reason why that could be, that's the Tafel. That's secondary, and the primary, the Torah is the Iker. I mean, that's it's a good question. Why? I mean, I'm kind of answering you quickly. But what the Rambam is saying, and what the Torah, Talmud Torah, Kenei Gula. Talmud Torah is the primary mitzvah. You know? Yeah.
So what's he saying in Yud? Because presumably a person who's Mesima Libo Shaso Patara V'Yas Malacha is someone who is viewing Torah as the Iker. So, and I understand that there's a psychological harm in being reliant on other people. But what are all the other things that he's talking about Chol Hashem and...
Oh, that's, I think, because in terms of the system. That the idea is that if it's viewed as a tool of making money, so then that's a design of the Torah.
But this is a person who's doing this whole thing because he's viewing the Torah as the Iker. That's why he's setting up his life this way. So now you're going to say that an end that really is...
No, it's the Iker, but there's also a Tafel. He has to realize what Torah is, though, that he's trying to teach the world the value and to live a life which teaches true ideas. And you're going to be viewed as a guy who's using Torah as a means, and you're going to dilute the idea of the Torah. And
that's,
you're going to feel that way.
People,
not only that, also you. I mean, for you, this psychologically, when something is your parnasa, you relate to it as like a means to an end. Just like the way it is once you're doing it, it's your job, you get pulled in by relating to it as a means. It's hard to, the person can't really, that's his job, but he's doing lashma. It becomes like a mixed in. It's a different. We can discuss that further. But this says when a person is too many lishmas mixed in, it really prevents him from being really into the lishma. It becomes his job, not really the lishma. Yeah.
Just observation on the examples of the Iker that you're giving of, let's say, like women or success. You know, I think like one of the difficult things about like the period of being in yeshiva, or I don't know if it's also just like this generation, this culture, is the Iker is like being distracted with entertaining things, which is not as distinct. Like when you're striving for success, it's like a certain picture that you're going for. Mm-hmm. I think the Iker of if your life is revolving around like drifting and like being distracted by things that are amusing,
right.
It's a lot like it's a different type of challenge of the Iker, you know?
Right.
Like,
I mean,
not,
that
not
becomes,
not
you think that is
thing.
An Iker, you mean?
Well, I'm saying like in terms of what your life revolves around, or
right.
Let's say like when you're in yeshiva, and when learning is hard and like you fall back on something, then like I don't know, a lot of, you know, us fall back on is like the
right, all those
the,
stuff.
Yeah.
Right. This is interesting. Is that maybe that's what we should pursue. I mean, we should think into it. I mean, because it's true. I mean, I think nowadays there is that, you know, I'm not that familiar with it, but the all these stuff that
but also
are
just the
concert.
Time period, like, you know, like the right. From the age of 18 until, let's say, like 20 something.
That's what we're
like,
doing all the time.
Yeah, like you have the luxury in you know, to
just do all
drift,
that.
You know?
Right. So is that a knicker, you think, or that's just like a distraction? Like, what is that? Like, what's like what?
Well, let's put it this way. Talmud
practically,
is not the Iker.
I understand. Right. Talmud Torah is not the Iker. So now this stuff kind of is.
Right. Well, in terms of what fills the day.
Right. Practically, time wise, it becomes.
Right. Now, maybe in the back of your mind, you have some vision of like success or something that you're.
Right.
And you might fall into that as soon as you start working.
But at this age, you mean, like, when we're kind of not really, we don't have the responsibility of a job, and no, we're not necessarily learning all day long.
Let's say, like, you're giving this year to, let's say, just from what, I don't know how any experience with this, but let's say, like, the Syrian community, where, like once you get out of high school, it's like, start making money,
right.
Like, then this would be, like, a different discussion.
I
feel like, that there you have a competing Iker with Talmud
right.
Torah, you know,
right.
This is like
right, I mean, the drifting
kind of. It's like a different thing, you know, yeah.
Right. So
right.
Is that? That's interesting. Like, what is that? Maybe we should think about that. What is that? Is that is that become an Iker, or is that just like a distraction? Like, what's
right.
What's shot in that?
Yeah, it's just something I'm noticing. Like,
right. You mean that's what makes it hard
and
for us.
That's what makes people not go to Seder. That's what makes people like
right.
the immediate
yeah.
cause of interference with
right.
the pulling yourself into learning.
Right.
This, you know?
Right. Maybe we should analyze that. Maybe we should the next time we should have a discussion. Try to analyze that thing. I don't know. Maybe you guys can help me though. Yeah.
I think
feel like that's more of a thing where people are trying to bend their reality, and they're trying to bend this fiction into their reality.
Right.
Rather not face
right.
reality and what their real goals
right.
are, because
right.
their goal is
right.
probably
right.
something that they feel they can't attain.
Right, some sort of escapism, you mean. Right, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Right, like drinking. But it's a different form of escapism.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jonah?
Yeah, I mean, we've been defining Icarus as like where your energy is going and how, like, how you're spending your time type of thing.
Well, it's what's your primary goal? I mean, I'm saying that whatever your primary goal is, presumably your time should be aligned accordingly, because if that's your primary goal, then why aren't you, if you're putting more time into just doing all kinds of other stuff, then that's probably not your Icarus. You know, so but Icarus doesn't really mean time. Like again, your Icarus could be learning, but you have a job and you work 9 to 5, and you just don't have as much time. But when you come home, you're learning and you're working in order to be able to learn. So on the weekends, you're learning. When you have a day off, you're learning. Like that doesn't you can't necessarily measure it by time, but that's if you have other things which are necessary for learning. But if you're just sitting around, doing whatever, so then is relearning really your Icarus? But if you're getting a job because that's the only way you could learn, but if you're just sitting around just watching TV, then it's hard to argue that you need that to learn, so then probably learning isn't really what's driving you. But what is driving you to do all that stuff? That's a good question. You know, what is the drive of all those things? What is, yes?
What about, like a lot of things, sometimes like a certain delay, it could be because of a certain situational thing. You have an ickle, you want to be married.
Right.
Uh-huh. That's something that, a lot of us want to be married at some point
right.
in our family.
Right.
Now, we can do certain steps in between, but like realistically, you have to meet somebody at a certain
right.
point,
right.
at whatever point.
Right.
And in the meantime, I think that's where a lot of distraction comes in.
Right.
Like, you want to be married or at some point. I mean, you're
right.
working for it. You're dating.
Right.
You're doing whatever. You're getting a job. You're
right.
learning. You're
right.
studying.
Right.
But realistically, you're kind of like waiting in a certain sense.
Right.
And so because of that, you can kind of fall easily into distraction.
Right.
So that's a kind of delayed reaction. And it's not just a marriage, it's another thing too.
Right.
You kind of find the delayed
right.
because a situation doesn't work out and you have to wait for the prime opportunity for that to happen.
Right.
Well, it could be in a job too.
Right.
You have to wait for the next promotion or the next
right.
level.
Right. Right. But I think still, if you still relate to all those things as a means, so then, it's frustrating, but that's the problem, is when we get our energy into these things and we forget that they're means, then we get more worked up. Like, in theory, we could deal with frustrations better in these areas if we relate to it as only as a means, but when we think of it as an end, it becomes much more painful when things don't work out in those areas. But I'm not sure if I'm getting your point. Am I missing anything, or... I mean, I hear what you're saying. There's a pain, and we get caught up in a rut because we get... There's that delayed.
There's nothing you can do about it at the time.
Right, I understand.
Like, you can't actualize that potential yet. You can do other things. You can distract yourself with doing other things.
Right.
And it's not like focusing your ego on Torah, which
right.
would be a great opportunity.
Right.
That
right.
you can always do. It's like you have a goal to do
right.
whatever.
Right.
And you can't actualize
right.
that.
Right. So you put more. So you end up putting energy into
that.
Right, I understand. So you put energy into the area.
You can't put energy into it. You're for some reason externally blocked because of situational factors.
Right, I understand. So then you distract yourself with other stuff.
That could be an outcome of it, but I'm saying the
right.
point is that
right.
because of situational or other mm-hmm. factors, you are blocked.
Right. Okay.
That kind of thing doesn't exist with Torah.
No, it doesn't exist with Torah. I mean, it's true. In the world, you have problems like that. Torah doesn't have those problems. Yeah. You should listen to that tape. Maybe we could discuss it, but the value of learning Torah, I think it's called, right? Proof of learning Torah?
Learning.
What?
Proof of learning.
Proof of learning. Yeah, it really goes into all the different lives and why the Torah is the best. It's worth listening to. I mean, the recording isn't perfect, but you really start taking the different things that you can pursue and the benefits and the harms and what, It's good, right? It's good. It's worth listening to. I mean, especially in this discussion of evaluating Icarus. Proof of learning is what it's a discussion, right? D4, one of the early discussions.
Is evaluating intellectually alone, does that do anything? Like, you're built a certain way and you're raised to have a certain ichor and you act that way. So just thinking about it and saying, well, it seems like I'm looking at the different lives and it seems like Torah is the best, it's not going to have any effect, really.
Well, it depends. It's the first step. I mean, if you don't do that, then I don't think you're ever going to get anywhere. See, the first, you're making it sound simple, but if you really see the point, then it should motivate you to do something about it. It
might ignite a low lishma. Like,
yeah.
And not be one of these people who's involved in these other types
of
right. things.
Right.
Always right enough to pull yourself out to...
Right, to start getting, start torturing yourself a little bit. You know? No, I mean, that's what, I mean, if
but
you see that, then you're a responsible person and you really realize this is what I see to be the right, the way to go, so then you got to do it. Or at least you should. I mean, if you...
rearranging the energies, which is the tsar part.
Right, but you have to see it. See, the thing is that you have to see it. You have to see that that's what you want to do. I mean, you have different motivations to do it, but I think, you know, if you're doing it because someone tells you to do it, or because it's some superego type of a thing, then it becomes very hard to fight through that tsar, because then it's just one emotion against another. So the whole motivation of doing it is because of some emotion, some guilt, some whatever. But then when you encounter the tsar, so then it just pushes back and you don't end up fighting through it. But if you see that it's, and you're convinced intellectually that it's that that's what you want because it's true, so then it's easier, you're like in a different playing field. The tsar is easier to, it's not going to get pushed aside because you could fight it through because it's from a different source. I mean, if the whole motivation is from emotions, then when it comes up against a stronger emotion, then you're going to fail.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I don't know if you could fight through the tsar, because the tsar becomes so hard at times, you know, just without real knowledge. Because that's what I was saying, Kovish is Yitzhar B'dayta. Kovish your Yitzhar with Das. You know? And that's why his first step is Das. I think his first step is, but not just to believe me. And try. Don't start trying to do the tsar until you first think into the thing and, you know, gain knowledge. You know, and listening to some of those tapes. I mean, a lot of early tapes, which are good. I mean, we could talk, but those tapes, a lot of early discussion tapes, you'll get into this stuff. Yeah. But I think that's something we should think about, the distractions, the modern-day distractions, which take us away from learning. You know, it's very... Yeah, it would be interesting trying to figure out what's the deal with that and how do we overcome it. Because that's a big thing, right? It prevents us from learning. It's not quite, it's not quite another ichor. It's something else. Yeah. Okay, any other questions or comments?
Maybe just a comment on the modern-day distractions.
Yeah.
Stephen Covey has a 2x2 matrix talking about important and urgent and not important and not urgent. So the modern day distractions, most of them fall in an unimportant and not urgent category.
Mm-hmm.
Like typically watching television, playing computer games.
Right, so why do we do it though?
Because it's by far the easiest path. It's
easy,
path
right.
Least resistance.
Right. So I guess then we have to really, the problem is if we don't really see that the Torah should be the ikar, then we're going to just go for the easy path. If the reason why we're committed to Torah is because like we kind of have this guilty feeling that it should be, but then in the moment we have the pull to the computer and then we just do it. But if we really have commit ourselves to this idea of Torah like or Matkara and we really see the value of it, so then maybe we'll be in a different position that we're not going to be able to fall every single second to all those things, because we realize, just like a guy who's in medical school isn't doing that all day long because he realizes he has to get it's important. He has to pass medical school. He's not going to do it if he sits on the internet all day long and he's watching TV all day long. So we realize that we have to come to Torah, and it doesn't happen if we don't really put in the energy and the time and the focus, then we're not going to do that stuff. I mean, it doesn't mean never, but you got to realize it's not easy to become a Torah. And you could say, I want to be involved in Torah, but it takes hard work. You're not going to do it if you just sit back and go to Shira every so often and, you know, and listen to the rabbi. You got to really work at it. You got to learn. You got to put in time. You got to come to the base measures. You got to have chavrusas. It's hard work. It's not easy to learn how to learn. And you got to, if you're sitting around kind of hoping it's going to come to you, you're not going to get it. And you're not going to be learning when you grow up and you get a job and whatever. It's just not going to happen. You really got to do, it's hard work. It's difficult. If you have to really commit yourself to it. Yeah.
Is it the type of thing that you can get through, like, learning a Gemara and, like, looking at the Chachmah Malka, or... Are you saying it's more of like a philosophical type of like figuring out the philosophy? What are you talking about recognizing that Torah is the ikar?
Oh, what do I mean by Torah being the ikar? Or how do
I'm saying like more of a practical, like could you see that just through like looking at the Chachma of the Gemara, like is it a philosophy?
Both. I mean, you have to know what Torah is. Like if you never enjoyed the learning, you're not going to be able to convince yourself that it's the ikar. if you've never seen the depth of the Torah and the breadth of the Torah and the way it could really draw you in an enjoyable way, and there's an infinite, it's all, you know, it could take your whole life and enjoy, you know, you're not going to be able to be convinced of what's, you know, like you can convince someone why tennis is awesome. If they never played tennis, they're not going to get it. There's going to just be words. So you have to experience it a little bit, you know, but then you have to think, okay, fine, now what else am I doing in my life? And what is, you know, start comparing them. But you have to have a little experience with really enjoying learning to be able to understand why it's the best, you know. You hear me? Yes.
For the distractions, I feel like it's because people have to make a hard decision, or a decision comes upon them. They need to make a choice, but they don't really want to make a choice because it's it's something. It's a choice between two things they're used to getting.
Right.
So they want to push off the choice.
Right, I understand.
So they.
Right, just an escape. I understand. Yeah, I hear you.
It's a delay tactic.
Right, I understand. Right. But we have to stop delaying at some point. But it's hard.
Yeah, I'm saying it's.
Yeah. I hear you, Chaim.
Circular. If we're going to make the formula, I guess, to make Torah your ikar, to be involved in it constantly as a majority sort of your day. But it's funny because in the beginning we were saying that if that's what you do, if you're only involved in your Zalman Torah, and I mean, it depends what we're looking at in terms of how you benefit from it, but it's not necessarily making it like the ikar in some sense of like, you can't, it's very difficult to feel that Torah is my ikar, but I have so many needs that I have to tend to. I'm working, I'm tending to, you know, the problems in my life, and I stick it in an hour of learning a day. It's hard for me to feel necessarily that like this is my ikar, but the formula that I guess logically might lend itself to that kind of conclusion, we don't really support.
Right. Well, see, I think that's, first of all, I mean, now we're at a point in our life where we probably, hopefully, don't have so many things that we have to be involved in, and
right.
We could really involve ourselves in a full-handed way in the Torah. And so far as you do that now, then you could become attached to Torah in that way, that even if you're not involved in it that much, like a person could be family, could be their ikar. And it could be a guy who's a family guy. It doesn't mean he's with his family all day long. Who's with their family all day long? Right? They're in at work all day long, but then on the weekends, that's it. That's where they're living. You know, so it can't necessarily measure by quantity of time, but I think in Torah, the quantity of time is necessary to be able to have that attachment. Once you have that attachment, you don't have to be learning all day long, because it's not reasonable, but it doesn't matter. Those nights and those weekends and that time that you're thinking about ideas, that's where you're at. That's it. You know, but I think it's never going to happen if you never really put in serious time. But it just doesn't happen. You just can't learn. You can't make it your ikar casually. It just doesn't lie. It's not that type of thing. Just like you can't, because your ikar can't be tennis, your ikar can't be medicine, it can't be anything. I mean, what could you really make your ikar by just not really putting any serious time and energy into the thing? It's just not going to happen. You know? Yeah.
Just to clarify them, it seems like man is built to seek pleasure and avoid pain.
Yes.
And pleasure may not be the, you know, best word for it, you know, enjoyment, you know,
right. Whatever, right, okay.
Whatever. But he's always gonna be looking for some type of pleasure. So is, when we talk about having an ikar and a tafel, then are we talking about something other than pleasure, or are we talking about a primary source of pleasure in his life?
I think that's included in it is that the life of Torah is going to be the life of the most pleasure. I think that's certainly the way to get started. I mean, there's another thing is that it's true and that you're just drawn to truth. Like, there's two different things. Like, Einstein is attached to the theory of relativity not because it gave him the most pleasure, but because his mind saw it as true. You know, there's an idea that, I don't know if the only thing we are pleasure seekers. There's an idea we have in mind that to see something is true and grabs hold of it because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so on the one hand, the life of Torah is life of truth, but I think also it's the life that will long term give us the most pleasure. It is the most pleasurable life, and not necessarily today, because today we have to stop, we have to turn off the TV, and that's painful. But in the long term, if a person assesses their long term life as what's ultimately going to be the life which is going to give them the most pleasure. It's going to be the life of Torah. You know, and therefore our judgments about how to get pleasure hopefully should be long-sighted as opposed to short-sighted, right? But yeah, I think that's included in the Torah, like that it's the most pleasurable. Am I answering your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, someone else? Okay, so let's think about these things, and hopefully one follow-up question I think is good to pursue is that thing I was mentioning about the modern-day distractions, because that's something we haven't really addressed, I haven't really thought about. But also bring questions to me. Ask me questions, and hopefully we'll have another one of these, hopefully. And the last time we did this once, and it didn't happen for another year, but I'm hoping that won't happen again. But it will be fueled by your questions. So think into these things, try to make it personal, and ask me questions, and that will spur further, you know. Yes, Adam. Maybe we could daven Marav. Did you guys daven?
No.
No.
Okay, so maybe we'll do that. Yeah.
What about, like,